The students have been requesting me to teach the Dharma today. They said it is an auspicious day. And I said, I am not teaching the Dharma. I've really taught a lot already. However, they kept on requesting. So on this auspicious day, I will teach a few sentences of Dharma. What is the difference between Buddha and sentient beings? What is the difference between Samantabhadra and us? It is just simply these discriminatory thoughts. These discriminatory thoughts are sentient beings. However, the true essence of these discriminatory thoughts is the realization, the realm of Samantabhadra. When we are practicing the great perfection, we need very auspicious arising causes. Because really this is transcendent Dharma. These very auspicious arising causes require bodhicitta. And the second important auspicious arising cause is belief. These are the two conditions we must not be lacking in. And then over and above this foundation of these two requirements, we need the guidance of an enlightened guru, who is part of a very pure lineage. These are the only three causes we require to be able to practice the great perfection. And these need to ripen. So the first is that we need the belief, and the second is we need compassion. Why do we need compassion? Because we are practicing to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of sentient beings. And why the belief? Because we want to receive the blessing and the realization of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the Ten Directions. Really, we should not be lacking in any of these when we are practicing the great perfection. And having this, then the Vajra Guru will transmit these transcendent pith instructions and empowerments to us. And they are very subtle. And recognizing the true nature of mind is very subtle. Meeting our Vajra Guru is also very subtle. Enlightenment is very subtle. Samsara is also very subtle. It's just the difference of a very subtle, in the moment, arising discriminatory thought that can create this entire samsara of the three worlds. And from this, all of these sentient beings appear. The same too, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and all the lineage masters are also very subtle. This unmoving, stable belief in the Vajra Guru. And so too, that through the great compassion and the realization of the great perfection of the Vajra Guru, that we are also be able to realize the state of mind. And to be able to realize the true nature of mind or recognize it is also very subtle. It could be that in the moment that we have this unmoving, boundless belief in our Vajra Guru, and in that moment that we recognize the true nature of mind. It might also happen that due to very vast and great compassion towards sentient beings, that we may enter into this state of the true nature of mind. And also, this Dharma is very subtle. Our root guru may transmit a pith instruction to us. And it might be that just through this one pith instruction, we may enter into the state of great perfection. And this may happen just through our very strong faith. Actually, our faith transcends the power of our meditation, transcends retreats and visualization of the deities and reciting mantras. If we want to very quickly meet with the deity at the time of death, this also relies on belief. That when I'm meditating, that I can be one with all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas also relies on this belief. That in the moment, the compassion and wisdom of all the deities and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas enters into my mind stream also relies on this belief. It may appear to be very simple, this faith and belief. However, if our faith is very, very strong, then very quickly we enter into the state that is one with the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. If we really want to attain the blessing of the Guru, of the deities, of the Dharma, most important depends on this unmoving belief of ours. This belief is really believing in the blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. If we don't have this belief, then we have doubts, hesitancies. From this we understand, most important if we are practicing the great perfection, is belief. Whether or not we can attain enlightenment is going to depend on this belief. Really, it is very, very important. There's no practice more important than this. If we are just very diligent and practice hard by ourselves, we won't be able to attain enlightenment because it really relies on the blessing and the empowerments of the root guru. It really doesn't just rely on ourselves. Just like those that go into the formless state, they really can stay in meditative concentration for eons. However, they don't attain enlightenment. They don't enter into the true nature of mind. On the other hand, we might not have such great meditative abilities. However, we can achieve this through our belief. Belief becomes a state of realization, and then the state of realization becomes the mandala, the realization of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. What is it that enables us to follow our Vajra Guru is belief. Thus, we must really understand it is very important to practice according to the pith instructions given to us, the methods given to us by our Vajra Guru. Our practice isn't to attain silence, it is to attain enlightenment. And so if we practice according to the requirements and the instructions of the Vajra Guru, we can attain Buddhahood. If we just practice according to our own habits and our own ideas, then we will just be silenced. Stressing again, practicing the great perfection, most important is belief. His Holiness Lama Ajahn Khrumbashe often used to say, if a student has unmoving belief in the Vajra Guru, then they won't go down the wrong path. Because through this faith, this belief, the Guru is blended, is absorbed into their own mind stream. Why? Even if they want to go down the wrong path, they're not able to, because already their mind is completely one with the Guru due to their belief. There's really no way they will practice incorrectly. However, if they don't have this belief, then it's very easy that they are practicing down the wrong path. If you have this unmoving belief in your Guru, then there's nothing that gets in between you and your Guru, and then there's no obstacles to your practice. There's just no ways that you will be practicing incorrectly. Why? Because there is no distance between you and the Guru. You are one. And then it doesn't matter where we are going. We have this unmoving belief in the Guru. I really believe that if this is the case, not one student and will never go down the wrong path. And why? Because I've asked this question of His Holiness Lama Ajahn Khrumbashe. And if you think that I have this unmoving belief in Lama Ajahn Khrumbashe, how am I going to practice incorrectly? There's no chance, and there's no reason to think that there should be a chance. However, if I don't have this unmoving belief in the Guru, then it's very possible that I will practice incorrectly. Why? Because our distance between the Guru becomes bigger and bigger, and we add in all of our habits and our own karma and our own thinking, all of our attachments, these deluded thoughts, these feelings, and then they start pursuing all of these appearances, and they don't have this great faith in the Guru, and very easily their practice goes down the wrong path. So the great perfection really is this connection with our Guru. And these are the requirements of the great perfection teachers. It's not that the great perfection teacher needs your faith or belief. It is we are the ones that need this belief. If we are connected together with the Guru, how are we going to practice incorrectly? If I have this unmoving belief in His Holiness Lama Ajahn Khrumbashe, how am I going to practice incorrectly? Definitely, I will be able to attain enlightenment. How can we go down the wrong path if we are one with the Guru? Impossible. The highest state of realization is this belief. Attainment of liberation in this very life relies on belief. Why is it that Milarepa was able to attain enlightenment? Killed so many sentient beings, had such negative, heavy karma. He had such faith in Marpa. And look at the way that Marpa tested Milarepa. Do you think any of you would have been able to endure this? Again and again chased Milarepa away. And when Marpa was giving empowerments to great crowds of people, if Milarepa came, then he would be chased out. He'd go back to building the tower that he was told to build, stone by stone, rock by rock. And he was tested like this again and again and again. And why? Marpa said, you may only receive the Dharma once you have finished building this tower. And you think how difficult it is to build this tower. One rock upon another rock, putting the mud in together, doing this all by yourself. Really, it took years for Milarepa to be able to do this. And then after finishing building it, what did Marpa do? He told Milarepa to tear it down again and to build it again. He said, oh, this rock is not in the right place. You must put it in the perfect place. How many of us would be able to endure and to continue if we were given such hardships or tested so severely? Why do you think that it is so special to be able to attain enlightenment in this very lifetime? The belief to be able to attain enlightenment in this very life is not this type of belief that we're thinking of. This belief is tested layer by layer, layer by layer. Just imagine if you came to receive teachings and I chased you away. Would your belief not be affected? If everybody else has come to receive pith instructions and I chase you away, and I meet all of the other students and I don't meet you, what would happen to your belief? And have a look. What has happened to your belief? Has it changed? These are all tests. Are we able to pass these tests? And if we just let such a small thing affect our faith and make our faith be lost, then how do we expect to be a practitioner of the great perfection? Then maybe the case is that you're not suitable for the great perfection. Why is it that Ma Mudra and great perfection is enabling us to attain enlightenment in the very life? It's due to belief. And their faith has reached the level that no matter what type of test they have, they are unaffected. They pass the test. Just think, if our Vajra Guru treated us like Marpa treated Milarepa, would we be able to maintain that faith, that belief? This really is quite important, and we really need to pass these tests. It must be this real belief, not this belief that we are just using words to express. Just think of this example of Milarepa. What did Milarepa rely on to attain Buddhahood? Was belief. And it was the same for all of the past enlightened gurus. They were all tested in this way. And the teachers will give us these tests. And they will sometimes say, oh, we'll teach everybody else, but you may not listen to this Dharma. And imagine if it happens to us like this again and again and again. What will happen to our faith? Will it be reduced? Will it grow? Will it change? And so this is to attain enlightenment in this life, and it doesn't just rely on diligence. And the state of realization really depends on our belief. And if we really attain this state of faith and realization, then whether we practice or we don't practice, it's going to make no difference, as we've already attained perfect belief. So when I read the biography of Milarepa, and we really see that he really had negative karma. He killed 35 people, his whole lineage of relatives he wiped out. And how is it that he was still able to attain enlightenment? There must be something very special that is very different to everybody else that enabled him to be able to do this. Yes, he was able to be very diligent and to continue practicing. However, the very special aspect of his practice was this unmoving belief he had in Marpa. Before Milarepa met Marpa, he went to another great perfection teacher. And this great perfection teacher said, if you practice during the day, you can attain enlightenment during the day. If you practice at night, you'll attain enlightenment in the night. And Milarepa thought, oh, this is going to be so easy, because he already had great mastery over sorcery. And so he just relaxed and was lazy and didn't do anything. And this other Dzogchen guru noticed this and thought, really, this Milarepa is very wild. Give him the opportunity to practice great perfection, and he doesn't use this opportunity. And he said to Milarepa, you, I can't help. You must go find the teacher named Marpa, who lives in Yeshu in the Qinghai area of Tibet. He, I believe, is your Vajra Guru. I myself, it seems, am not able to help you. And then Milarepa went to find Marpa. And when he found Marpa, what did Marpa do? Marpa said, I will either give you food and you must find Dharma somewhere else, or you must find your own food and I will provide you with the Dharma. And Milarepa chose to have the Dharma and to find his own food. However, what Marpa did as well was not immediately teach the Dharma to Milarepa. And what happened? He had to wait many years before Marpa would teach him a pith instruction. And it wasn't Milarepa who decided when he received the pith instructions. It was Marpa's decision when to teach Milarepa. And he only received maybe one pith instruction for really a couple of years. From this we really see that practicing the great perfection, there is an aspect that is different from everything else. What is it that is different is this belief. Think about it. If it wasn't for the belief that Milarepa had in Marpa, the way Marpa treated Milarepa, definitely Milarepa would have run away. And in those days, life was much, much harder than it is today. And still, Milarepa was able to persist in his practice. Why is it that Milarepa was able to be successful? Because of his unmovable belief. And eventually attained liberation, attained enlightenment. It was the power of the energy of his faith, his belief. From this really we see that to attain the realization of great perfection, we don't need too many things. The most important aspect is belief, or the most important attribute to have is belief. In great perfection, our belief is so important.